I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And it's so good to see every one of you as much as what I can see on my screen. It's good to see you all again because we are living at a time where we are so much in the confines of our room, where doctors are telling us not to venture out of the house as much as possible. Ration is depleting, vegetables are depleting. We cannot avoid going out, but yet so much of a struggle at this point of time. Right from the beginning, as Brother Ravi opened the service, I think the theme has been on the gloom and doom that we are going through right now, the challenges that we are all facing. It's indeed a very challenging time. It's difficult to even speak God's word, words of encouragement, because there's so much of sadness and grief right now. But the word of God will always last and stand. And I think that is the hope we have. And that is why we are here today, singing songs of praise and worship. And we are trying to encourage one another and spurring one another to keep going on and moving on. We are indeed living in a difficult time. Personally, I've also made many plans this year. I thought 2021 is going to be good and I need to do this, I need to do that. I have at least three things that are very, very urgent that I need to do, but nothing seems to be working out. It's quite depressing at times. It's quite stressful at times because nothing seems to be moving forward. We don't understand what is going on because we hear of so many news of friends who are sick, news of those who are suffering, and even those who have lost lives. So it is very depressing. I was just watching the news briefly this morning. There was those little lines that run that says, "Have we failed?" So I think that is a situation that we are living in right now. But as God's people, we have a hope. We have a hope. Let's encourage one another. Let's pray together. Let's motivate one another. Press on and move on. And that is why the church is there. And Jesus is the head of this church. Let us anchor ourselves to him and move on. And we are looking for answers. The world is looking for answers. They've come out with vaccines, medicines, and there are so many other things. Switching from one medicine to the other medicine. We are not sure whether the vaccine is still working very well, but we are all asked to go ahead and get ourselves the jab. So it almost looks like we are at the end days. And that is where we are living in right now, in this situation. The last days are here, my brothers and sisters. Let's not lose hope. Let's move on. So today I'm here to speak to you and encourage all of us about the Lord Jesus Christ again. We normally talk about Easter. We usually have great celebration about Easter, his resurrection. And then, of course, Good Friday before that. And then, of course, we would straight away jump into the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out to his people. But today I want to speak about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ in continuation from his resurrection and the way he met his disciples and lived on this earth for 40 days before he ascended to heaven. So that is what I'm going to share a little bit this morning. As I said, it is least talked about subject, and it is also not preached so often about the ascension, probably because it is maybe too dramatic that people may not even believe if we would share how Jesus was taken up to heaven. That could be the possibility. That's why we don't talk about it. Or it's just that we don't believe that it happened in that manner, the way the Bible describes it. It is just too dramatic for, I think, human minds to comprehend. But today, just as we have read in the passage earlier also, I will repeat a few of those to refresh our memories. In Luke earlier, we know that Acts was also written by Luke. So in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, it records like this. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. It's almost like a father blessing the children that we see in the Old Testament, as Jesus was blessing his disciples. He was slowly carried up into heaven. And then the account is also narrated in Acts, which was read to us. I will jump into verse 9. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." A very, very promising passage that we have at this time, especially in this present situation. The same way he was taken up, he is going to return. So as I said, I will be talking on the ascension of Christ. There are a few aspects that I want us to look into this morning. The first one is, Christ ascended to a place, just as we have read in the passages. It describes of a place that is heaven. Now, this narrative is designed to show the disciples that Jesus went to a place. As they were watching, he slowly disappeared from their sight, and the angels immediately assured them that he would come back in the same way in which he had gone into heaven. So just as I said earlier, it is hard to believe the way it happened. So there are even evangelical theologians who would hesitate to affirm that heaven is a place. And actually, Jesus ascended to a definite location. We cannot see it now. It does not mean that Jesus turned into some ethereal state of being that we would like to maybe explain it that way. But that's not the case, because that doesn't have a location, if that was so. But what we are talking about is a place, a particular place where Jesus ascended to. It is a location in the space-time universe, which we cannot see because it is in the spiritual world that exists all around us. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, in that passage, we see Elisha was surrounded by army of angels and chariots of fire. What were they doing? They were protecting him from the Syrians at Dothan. Nobody could see that. But even his servant could not see it. It was only when God opened the eyes of his servant that he saw it, that there were angels and chariots of fire guarding Elisha. So that is what goes on in the spiritual world, which we cannot see with our naked eyes. And even in Acts chapter 7, 55 to 56, as Stephen was dying, he was able to see heaven, as recorded to us in Acts. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That is what Stephen saw. And again, in John 14, 2 and 3, these are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." I think Jesus is clearly talking about a place here. It's not that ethereal state of being, but it is a real place where you and I will be there one day. We, of course, cannot see heaven now, but the scripture often speak of it to be above. But it is not very specific. It just says it is above. Just as Jesus was taken up, he will return again down. So it's somewhere above. That's what it records. In Revelation 21, 2, it talks about the new Jerusalem that will come down of heaven from God. Now, all these indicate that heaven is a place in the space-time universe. It may be hard to believe, but that is what the scripture teaches. I know there are many teachings that would be there, even in other religions, they would talk about heaven differently. Some might say that it is the ultimate state of bliss. I don't know what is that, but that's what they would like to say. But personally, and as a believer and a follower of Christ, I would like to believe that it is a place where I want to be there. A real place. So I think it is more comforting to know that heaven is actually a place. And that is where the Lord Jesus Christ has gone when he ascended. Now in my community, the old folks used to love singing these songs about heaven. When we die, we will get there, beyond the shore, across the river, all those kinds of songs. I think the older folks really love those. Probably it's because of the struggle that they might have gone through, and they're waiting for that day to be there. But I'm not sure sometimes whether they really understand that it's actually a physical place, a place where we will really be there, not just floating about in the air, but it's a real place where we will be there. So that gives us a great source of encouragement and joy. What I'm trying to do today is to assure us of our destiny. We are not going to a place without any direction. We have a clear direction where we are going. So, brothers and sisters, let us be encouraged this morning. And secondly, when Christ ascended, he received glory and honor, which he did not have as a God-man while he was here on earth. While he was here on earth, you and I know, when we celebrated Good Friday, we had talked about the suffering of Christ. He was scoffed, he was mocked, he was hated, and the world did not know him. And that is why he was so much hated. And of course, we know ultimately they had killed him. Now, when Jesus had ascended to heaven, he had received glory, honor, and authority. Now, he had prayed just before he died in John 17, 5. "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Glorify me now as I come, Father, just as I had the glory before the world had existed. Paul also declared that in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, God has highly exalted him. God has highly exalted him. So when he had ascended to heaven, God himself exalted him. Jesus was taken up in glory. That's what the scripture says. In glory he was taken up. And we know that the angelic choir are singing now, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Jesus, the God-man, was scoffed, hated, beaten, broken. His blood was shed while he was here on earth. But now he has received all the glory and honor that is due to him as he ascended. And thirdly, Christ is seated at God's right hand. Now in the Old Testament, we see that the Messiah, there was a prophecy where it said the Messiah would sit at the right hand of God. Even in Psalm 110 verse 1 there, it talks about it. The Lord said to my Lord, that's what it says there. This is very significant as it demonstrates that Christ has accomplished the redemptive work for which he had come to this world. He was on a clear mission. So it feels like as if he has now finished and accomplished that mission, the redemptive work. And that is why he has the right to sit on God's right hand. The act of sitting down at the right hand of God is an indication that he received authority over the universe. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, 20 and 21, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. We also see that Christ received the authority to pour out the Holy Spirit on the church because of that authority that he has. Peter says on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:33, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. He is pouring out the Holy Spirit to the church because he is seated on the right hand of God. Now Christ could have said, I have finished my mission. I've accomplished it. Now I'm retiring now, because I've done what the Father has asked me to do. I think normally that's what we would do. Even when soldiers go on a particular mission, if the mission is accomplished, when they return, there would be a great celebration and then they would give them a good break. Go enjoy and take your break. Now, when we say that Jesus is seated on the right hand of God the Father, I think that doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is perpetually fixed on his seat and is not doing anything. But the fact is, he's continuing to do things and he is engaged in activities in heaven, which we don't understand. He's continuously doing many, many things for us. And one of them to mention here is he plays the role of a high priest. As he sits there on the right-hand side of God the Father, he plays the role of a high priest. That's what the scriptures talk about. We know that the role of the high priest is very important in the Old Testament times. They would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. They would pray on behalf of the people. They are the mediators who would come on behalf of the people to God, because the people never had access to God directly. And here we have Jesus Christ, a perfect lamb, who was sacrificed for us. So he played that role of the lamb himself as the high priest. And right now, what Jesus Christ is doing is he's praying for us continually. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." He's a perfect mediator. You and I, when we pray to God, it doesn't mean that God doesn't answer our prayers or doesn't listen to our prayers. But still, we have some sinful stain in us. We are not perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Jesus Christ plays that role for us, as he mediates for us, as he pleads to God the Father for us, it is so wonderful to know that he continuously does that for us as a mediator. So he's playing the role of the high priest right now. So as I've mentioned these few aspects of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the doctrinal learnings that we received this morning, there are important significance for our lives as well. Just as there is an important significance on resurrection, there is an important significance on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ for our lives. Number one, the ascension of Christ foreshadows our future ascension into heaven with him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord." So it is a foreshadow that we are also going to ascend into heaven, just as Jesus, our Master, our Lord, did. And in John 14, Jesus himself said that he will take us to be with himself one day. These are his very words in John 14. He's the one who's going to take us. So we are going to ascend into heaven. So that's a source of great joy and assurance this morning. Jesus' ascension also gives us the assurance that our final home will be in heaven with him. As we just mentioned, John 14, he has already gone before us so that we will eventually go there also. My dear brothers and sisters, even as we battle this pandemic, I know that it has affected many homes and many lives have been lost. We grieve and are in pain. Let us not be like those without any hope, We can rejoice in grief as our loved ones have gone to heaven and are there with Jesus. I hope this cheers us up a little bit in spite of all the gloom and doom that is all around us today. The very thought of heaven should excite us. Because troubles here on earth, but in heaven, all this will be gone. Now, the ascension of Jesus has shown us that. I would like to cheer all of us up this morning. Let us move on as we battle this, because we know that we will be with our Master. And thirdly, Jesus had received all the authority. Now we will be sharing in his authority as well. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, did you know that we are the ones who will be judging the angels? I don't know how that would work out, but it might be very interesting. Maybe there would be a few angels who did not do their job well. We would call them and then punish them. I don't know how that would work out. That's just a little joke. But we are going to share in that authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the only privileged ones who are going to judge angels. And in Hebrews chapter 2, 5 to 8, it reads like this. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. What is man? What is man that God is so mindful about? Now we are just he has kept us a little lower than the angels, but we have the privilege that we are going to judge them. That is the authority that we are going to receive when we go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last, it should be a consoling thought to know that Christ is continually praying on our behalf to the Father for the needs that we have. As human beings, there's a lot of fear. We are insecure. And we are afraid of so many things, many times. But our Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, our mediator, is praying for us continually. If only we could accept this and believe this 100%, I think we would be people who are always joyful in spite of every situation. We would be people who are stress-free. So instead of rating nations, you know, they rate nations who are the most happy nations. I think then we would be rated as Christians are the most happy people. But the challenge is there. I think the challenge is there. But yet, the truth of God's word will not go away. Jesus Christ is praying for you and for me, my brothers and sisters. This morning, let us not be pulled down by this gloom and doom that is all around. It's almost like a situation where the Israelites were in Egypt, when the angel of death was going to sweep over Egypt, and where there would be death. But all those who would put the blood of the lamb in the door they would be saved. Jesus Christ has already done that for us. We are saved. And today, our Master, our Lord Jesus, is right there as a high priest praying for us. As I conclude, we too will ascend like our Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be in heaven at a particular place. Thirdly, we will share in his authority. And fourth, Christ is our mediator and he prays continuously for us. May God encourage us this morning through his word. And may he bless us through this week, even as we face another week. May he give us the strength to move on in spite of all the challenges all around us. May his word bless us in a new way today. Thank you so much.